Hey, everybody, it's Rick and Rob. Welcome back to the Nomad Pastor Podcast.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
It's been a long day.
It started early.
It started very early. And when it started, it was good.
Yeah.
It was a real good day.
Yeah.
You know, it was, we're going to have our Zoom Bible study.
That's right.
You know, it was only 10 or 12 guys on that. Something like that, usually.
Yeah. You know, it depends.
Yeah. And I was trying to get to work. So that I could be at work because I had like four or five other things after the Bible study that I was going to get done.
Yeah.
You know, before 8 o'clock.
Right.
And about 6:20, it all fell apart.
Yeah. That's what it's, you know, now luckily your prospect was already on the call.
Yeah. Yeah. And I got a good prospect. We have several good prospects.
But yeah.
Albert was really good.
Yeah. It was awesome. It was awesome.
So we got everything taken care of, you know, bike to a shop and I got back. There's a podcast story in that thing that we'll talk about later.
Yeah, we'll definitely get to it.
Yeah.
All right. So we started a couple weeks ago talking about talents, or not talents, talking about
parables.
Right.
Yeah, we're talking about talents today.
Today we're going to talk about talents. Right. Sometimes
it's a long day.
Sometimes I wonder, you know, and here's the crazy thing. Like I'm not complaining at all.
Right.
But I have Thursday night group too.
Uh-huh.
Right. So my Thursday night group last night, we didn't get done till like 10 o'clock at night.
Wow.
Well, then 5 o'clock comes early for, men's group.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So last night, and I'm generally an early morning guy, but
yeah.
I'm also a go to bed early guy.
Well, I'm getting to be a better at going to bed earlier.
Yeah.
You know, guy. Oh,
look at that.
Equipment malfunction.
It's one of those days.
It's the one of those days.
As long as you can hear me, I'm on talk.
Yeah, I can hear you. We can talk.
That's what happened. So I rearranged everything.
Yeah.
And so some stuff is just not, not all there.
Well, it's one of those, look, it's like I was telling Rebecca on the phone today.
Yeah.
You know, it's mechanical things are just going to happen from time to time.
I look at it like, I was listening to Robbie Gowdy one time, and we're going to get into the parable, but I was listening to Robbie Gowdy one time, and he said, if the adversary is coming for him,
mm-hmm.
he comes in the way of technology.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He says, I'll get up somewhere to preach, and the soundboard will short out.
Mm-hmm.
Or my mic won't work.
Oh, yeah.
Or whatever it may be. But it's always, like he said, Satan always comes when I'm getting ready to do something big.
Yeah.
And it's usually with technology. And so that's probably what's going on right now.
It probably is. We've been talking in Forged Brotherhood MC a lot about spiritual attacks lately.
Yeah.
And, you know, different things are going on. But so it's prevalent, not just today, it's prevalent all over the place.
Yeah, and if you're watching on YouTube, you probably saw my mic like adjust itself.
And if you heard it on the podcast, that's what that boom was.
That's right. It fell. So after this, I'll fix it, and then we'll do the next one.
We'll do the next one.
All right. So today we're going to talk about the parable of the talents.
I love this parable.
I do too.
I really do.
Do you want to read it?
Yeah, I'll read it.
Okay.
So I'm going to read from the ESV version, and somebody said the other day that's the extra special version. Oh, me. Anyway, Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 14. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them to property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I've made 5 talents more. Technology, folks. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter the joy of your master. And he also, who had the 2 talents, came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He who had received the one talent came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here is what you have. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I could have received that was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For everyone who has given more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Mm. When you hear this parable, what is the first thing you think of?
Don't be a knucklehead.
Don't be a knucklehead. I'm not going to say where I was, but I was someplace, and they were talking about the parable of the talents.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody said, well, when I read this, it tells me at the very minimum, I should just, like, as long as I pay my tithing and I don't do anything else, I'm good.
Mm. You don't pay to play in the kingdom of God.
Right?
Yeah.
But what is he saying, right? I mean, I know he's saying, like, you know, hey, you should at least put it in the bank. So they're saying, like, if I gave my money to the church, it's like putting it into the bank and collecting interest. Like, the church is going to go do the work. What would you say to that?
So here's my issue with that.
Yeah. Okay. I think we both have one.
But we both do, and I think they interconnect and intersect.
Yeah.
So my main thing with that is how was that following the Great Commission?
Well, it's not. It's absolutely not.
There's no way that it can even come close to that.
Right.
So your command, the last thing that Jesus told the apostles, the last recorded word that we have
the ascension.
Before the ascension in heaven was, go and make disciples. So if I'm just paying my tithe and expecting the church to go do what I'm commanded to do,
yeah,
then I'm failing.
I agree. I also think, you know, that go and make disciples, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it also says teaching them all that I have commanded and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, right?
Right, right.
So it's a commandment.
Right.
It's not even like, you know, teaching them all that I've commanded will teach them everything.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And so this parable to me says, look, God has given me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to take what he's given me and I got to multiply it.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And I got to do it joyfully.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right. So I use this as an example, this particular passage,
yep,
as an example a lot of times, to encourage people for the way that they go about building the kingdom of God. Let me give you a for instance. Okay. I don't claim to be good at it.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't claim to have mastered it, but I'm a decent guitar player.
Okay.
I'm a decent vocalist.
Yep.
And God gave me the gift of music.
Yeah.
He gave me the gift to be able to understand how to hear harmonies and melodies and hear chords, whether they be a triad or a major, a minor, or whatever. And he gave me the ability to be able to translate what he's given me into a fretboard or into a drum or I can't play the keyboard very well, but what I'm saying?
Right.
So,
right.
But here's the thing. If I don't use that and exercise that and take that gift that he has given me to glorify him with that, then I'm just like this one talent dude right here.
Absolutely.
So taking that gift that he has given me, and I've had this conversation before with people about the difference in gifts and talents are what God has given me is a gift. What I take it into to give back to him with is the talent.
I don't know that I've ever heard that. And that's a great way to put it, right? Like, you know, you're given the gift of this, right? Whatever your spiritual gift is.
Right.
But how do you turn that spiritual gift into growing the kingdom?
Right.
And that's through the talent that comes from that spiritual gift.
From exercising that spiritual gift.
Yeah, I like that.
So in following, you know, what in following that train of thought.
Yeah.
You know, if your gift is children's ministry, kids, like you like kids.
That's and bless the people who do.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. If you're in children's ministry right now, I love you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And we will pray for you.
Exactly. Exactly. Because I don't. But, you know, my thing is, if I use what God is giving, and if getting back to the children's ministry thing, somebody who loves kids so much and wants to see them grow and nurtured in the admonition of the Lord and be fruitful in that. All the different creativity that comes from using that. I don't have that kind of creativity. You know, I can write a song.
Yeah.
You know, I can write a sermon.
Right.
You know, I can do those things, but there's a different creativity level. There's a different, I don't want to say compartmentalized, but there's a different use of the brain.
Well, there is like, you know, I do the same thing. Like, I don't know that I could ever be in a children's ministry, but I know that I can study and write a sermon.
Right.
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 And I ain't afraid to stand up in front of somebody and talk.
No. I can stand in a recovery meeting or I can stand in a pulpit in an assembly somewhere.
I'm the same way. And so that's using the gift that God gave me.
Right.
Right. To multiply, not just bury it.
Right.
Because that's what the lazy one did.
Exactly.
Right?
Yep.
The ESV said sloth-like, right?
Yeah.
You sloth.
Well, that's lazy.
Yeah. The NIV says you wicked, lazy servant.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And because I think of maybe a sloth isn't – I think it could be misinterpreted. I don't think they're necessarily lazy. They're just slow.
Well, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I get that.
But lazy, like you're lazy.
Yeah. Lazy has no intent. None. Has no purpose.
None. And if all you're going to do is bury your gift.
Yeah.
Bury the talent God gave you. Mm-hmm. You're lazy.
Yep.
I don't know of another way to put it.
There's not. I don't know of another way, you know, and I don't think there is another way.
No. So when you think of this parable, what's the best thing to take from it?
I think the best thing to take from it is that in order to be a part of expanding the kingdom, you've got to use what God has given you.
Yeah.
I think in order to be able to be, and I don't want to say success, because it's not about anything that I can do.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about anything, because it's what God's given me the ability to accomplish, the ability to do. And using that ability, using that gift that God has given you.
Yeah.
To further the kingdom. In this story, obviously it was a monetary thing.
Right.
It was physical gain. But to put that into a perspective of what we as Christians today see, face, and do, our goal in this podcast is based on love God and love people.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
As following the two greatest commandments.
Yeah.
But to our goal as Christians is to give somebody else what we've got through salvation.
Yeah.
You know, that hope of eternal life.
Absolutely.
That knowledge and turning that to wisdom so that we can show not a delineation, but so that we can go into Scripture and say, let me give you some peace here.
Yeah. Do you know what I realized when I was looking at this was, you know, something that we've talked about a lot before, like when we get there, when that day comes and we're standing face to face, we want to hear,
well done, good and faithful servant. Yeah.
We don't want to hear, depart from me.
Right.
Right. But what he says in this, right, at least in the NIV version, his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant.
Mm-hmm.
You have been faithful with few, right? And he's
ESV says that as well.
Yeah. Right. So when I read this, he's telling us how to hear what we want when we get there.
Yeah.
He's telling us how to hear, well done, good and faithful servant.
Yeah.
He's laying it out for us.
Mm-hmm.
And he's telling us what's going to happen if we do nothing.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
You wicked, lazy servant.
Servant.
Depart from me because I don't know you.
And throw him out.
Right. Yeah. That's not what anybody wants.
Nobody.
Right? I mean, I'm afraid of it.
Yeah.
You know, this morning we were talking about identity.
Mm-hmm.
That was the word, right?
Yeah.
Even though your bike was broke.
Rub it in.
But Donathan said something. He said, and I don't remember where we were at in the process, but, you know, we were talking about how a lot of times we don't feel worthy and,
mm-hmm.
you know, how God loves us. But, you know, Donathan says, you know, in the scripture it says, you're supposed to forgive somebody 7 times 70.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Donathan is like very
– yeah.
Cut he's like, dry. Well, that's 490.
490, yeah.
What happens when I get to 491?
Well, so Donathan, if you're listening.
Right, right.
Let me break this down for you a little bit, okay? So 7, and you should know this, is a perfect number.
That's right.
In Scripture,
that's right.
Right? That's right. So it's kind of like to infinity and beyond.
That's right.
Right? That's what Jesus was getting at the 7 times 70.
Right.
And so, you know, there is no 491.
I know.
And I'm not saying that you don't or that Donathan doesn't.
Yeah.
But my here's my point. We and I was talking to somebody about this earlier today, and I was given the example of Ten Commandments, Levitical law, and then Jewish 12,000 extra, you know, do this, don't do that thing.
Right.
Right. And we get wrapped up so much in legalistic junk.
Yeah.
There were 618 Levitical commandments.
Is it 618?
618 or 621.
Yeah, I thought it was 630, but 638. But it's probably 618. I may have gotten
it.
It's over 600.
It's over 600 plus, right? Let's just go there.
Yeah.
So there's 600 plus Levitical commands.
Yeah.
And it goes from everything from how to worship to sex.
That's right. Baptize your hands before you do anything, right?
Right.
Baptizo.
Baptizo. Right. Wash clean.
That's right.
So God gives the children of Israel these sets of rules that go a bigger explanation than the Ten Commandments that Moses came down from mountain with.
That's right.
Right? And the children of Israel, Israelites that become Jews, have blown this thing up to where now you count your steps on the day of Sabbath, so that you're not, so that you make sure that you're still keeping the Sabbath holy and resting on that day. So if you take 91 steps, I don't know what I can't remember what the number is. But if it take 91 steps, or and I'm just calling that out, right? That you've sinned because you've gone past the threshold of rest,
right? The how much you're allowed,
right? Yeah. The allocation of still being in the law.
That's right.
In the things that they have, you know, and we get to a point to where even with talents, where we go. And into a legalistic mindset of I can't go here because this is what my gift and my talents are.
Yeah.
I can't do this. You know, and we talked earlier about people that are in children's ministry. I'm not a children's minister kind of guy.
Yeah.
But I can go in there and do a little skit.
Yeah.
You know, every now and again, and do something funny and dress up like Moses and come in there with a staff and go, let my people go. You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. But you notice the thing that he doesn't say in here, right, in this talents? He doesn't say pray about it.
Nope. He says do it.
He says do it.
Yeah.
Right? He doesn't say, you know, and you hear a lot of people say, well, you know, I'm going to have to pray about that. Really?
Now,
it may not be where you're meant to serve.
Correct.
But he said, go and make disciples.
Right.
He didn't say pray about going and making disciples.
No, he said go.
Right. So when he says, hey, you know, this here's what I want you to do. Take these 10, take these 5, take mm-hmm. this 1.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't tell them how.
Mm-mm.
He said go.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't hear them say, well, I had to pray about it, and it said, don't do nothing.
Right.
Right? And I think far too often in our society today, people use that as an excuse to not do something.
I agree.
Right?
I agree.
Well, I got to pray about it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, maybe it's not the thing you're supposed to do,
mm-hmm.
but just do it, and God will show you what you're supposed to do while you're doing it.
Right. Now, I will say this. If somebody came to me and said, Batman, I want you to be in charge of the children's ministry, I'd go, well, I'm about to pray about that one because I don't like kids. No, that's not the truth. I like kids.
I know.
But my thing is, I don't have that kind of mindset.
But I think here's the difference of what I'm saying. I agree with what you're saying, but what I'm saying is there are, like, you're already doing a ton of stuff, right? So it's very unlikely that, like, your pastor is going to come to you and say, hey, would you take on the children's ministry? Because he knows you're doing a ton of other things.
Right.
Right?
Right.
I'm saying the people who don't do anything.
Okay, I'm with you.
Right?
I'm with you.
The people who don't do anything, they go to church, like the
one talent guy.
The one talent guy, like the person who said, well, hey, as long as I'm giving my tithing, and then my tithing's like putting in the bank to get interest, right?
Right.
They're doing nothing else.
Yeah.
I'm saying if you're doing nothing to serve God, like the one talent guy.
Yeah.
Do something, and while you're doing something, pray for what you're supposed to be doing.
Right.
But don't use the excuse that I need to pray and I'm waiting for God to show me what I'm supposed to do to not serve.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. So, and I want to back that up with scripture.
Okay.
Okay.
Good.
So in verse 15 of Matthew chapter 25, he says, to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability.
Right. According to his ability.
What he can handle.
That's right.
What he can do.
That's right. And whether you may not want to do it, somebody's asking you because it's what you can handle.
Right. Right.
Right? I mean, that's what it boils down to.
Sure. And there's going to be some prayer involved in that.
Well, absolutely.
And coming and asking me, you know.
Well, absolutely. Right?
Or the person that's not doing anything.
I got to pray about it.
I'm
not saying don't pray.
No.
I'm saying serve.
And I don't believe that you are.
I'm saying serve. And while you're serving, waiting for God to answer what you should be doing,
mm-hmm.
do something.
Right. Because now you, and I'm not trying to wade off in the weeds, but you know the old saying of God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called.
Absolutely.
You know, and that is tying back right into that scripture.
Absolutely.
To each his own ability.
That's right, to each his ability.
You know, and just because I'm a 2-talent guy this time doesn't mean that I can't be the 5 or 10 or 15-talent guy, you know, the next time that I have that opportunity.
That's right. But when you're praying to God and asking him, what should I do? If you haven't done anything, he may not trust you to do what you're really supposed to do.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Because he may not know it's in your ability. Well, he knows.
He knows, Yeah.
Are you really going to follow through?
Right.
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 He may send someone else that he knows.
Yeah. Yeah. I get what you're saying.
Right. What else about it?
So, let's go to the end of this thing for a second.
Okay.
Let me get there. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness.
Yeah.
In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Yeah.
So not following through with what God has given you a gift in and wasting that gift, wasting that talent, the end result ain't pretty.
No. Weeping and gnashing of teeth.
I watch a lot of, not a lot, but we don't have cable.
Okay.
Right. So we have off air and then we have streaming services.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, in the off air channels, we watch like Dateline and things like that. Now, at supper time, I'm going to tell off on myself here. One of my favorite shows to watch at supper time is Tales of Wells Fargo.
I've never even heard of it.
Really?
Yeah.
You got to check it out. Dale Robertson and his Horse Jubilee and Tales of Wells Fargo.
Never heard of
it. It's from the 60s. Man, it's fantastic. 50s, probably.
Yeah, never heard
of it. It's fantastic. It's great. It's good versus evil.
Okay.
And this guy, Dale Robertson, plays this character, Jim Hardy, and he's a Wells Fargo investigator.
Okay.
And it's always about like a stagecoach robbery or a train robbery and trying to get Wells Fargo's money in. And, you know, he is pre-G-Men, basically.
Okay.
Right. And he's got this horse and he's a left-handed pistolier. And, you know, so anyway, that's one of my favorite. But these commercials that come on, you know, it's like, if you drink the water at Camp Lejeune, those kind of things?
Absolutely.
Right. So there are so many ways to get out of let me back up because let me tread this lightly because I know there are people out there that are sick.
Yes.
Okay. But how many mesothelioma class action lawsuits?
All of them.
Have you seen? Like, there will be 20 commercials.
Yeah.
You know, and then the very next thing, you know, it'll be like, join this class action lawsuit. And the next thing is a J.G. Wentworth commercial. It's my money and I need it now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's always these things that get you motivated to get out of or take a different path. Now, I'm not saying that if you're sick that, you know, and there are cases, there are circumstances where people have been exposed to things wrongfully and willingfully.
I know what you're saying, right? There are people who are that are sick because of what happened.
Right.
And this isn't about them.
Right.
What you're about to say has nothing to do with them.
But if you're taking a pill for a pill that cures a pill and the side effects for this pill, you got to take this pill because you don't want to get off the couch.
Yeah.
You're not using your talents.
I would agree with that.
You're not doing things for the kingdom. You're that lazy, slothful servant that if God trusted you with anything would be one talent anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, just to reiterate, this isn't about people who are really sick.
No, it's not. And there are people who are
not sick, but are lazy.
Right.
And they're sick because of their laziness. They are not sick because of whatever medical
physical ailment
they have.
Right.
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 Which are two different things.
Exactly. Exactly.
So I just want to throw that out there.
Yeah. And I'm not. And look, if you are sick because you drank the water at Camp Lejeune, first of all, God bless you for serving our country.
Amen.
Second of all, I pray that the symptoms and the things that you are enduring or have endured or whatever because of toxic waste that got into whatever.
Right, right.
Or if you worked in a train yard and they gave you safety solvent to wash your hands in four times a day and it's caused, you know, nerve damage and things for you, you know, those are real life issues. Those are things that and you being sick from that, that comment and that little tirade was not about you.
Right.
That was about, you know, the one talent person that maybe had the ability to make that one talent two talents, but chose not to.
Yeah. Now, as we kind of end it, right, the one thing I did want to say is that, you know, in my footnote, it says that a talent was probably worth 20 years of a day laborer's wage.
Wow.
20 years.
Wow.
And so that's like our lives.
Yeah.
Right? So we're saying our lives. He's given us the equivalent of our life.
Wow.
What do you do with it?
Mm.
Right? Because think about that. If you're the five-talent guy, that's 100
years.
100
years. Yeah. Right? That's what I was thinking. That's where, exactly where my mind went to.
Right. What do you do with that? 100
years.
That's a lifetime that has been entrusted to us.
I want to do everything that I can.
Yeah.
To take what God has given me and glorify him so that the kingdom of God is furthered. Not that I have a spur in the cog.
Yeah.
Or, you know, not that my wagon wheel spokes are more important than anybody else's, but I want to be effective for the kingdom.
Amen.
And the things that God has gifted me with, the things that God has given me to use, I want to use those to glorify, to show the gift giver, not Absolutely. The gift.
Absolutely.
Not the gift,
yeah.
But the gift giver.
Yeah.
And I want to make sure that the things that I do to show the gift giver only shine a light on him and not me in any way.
I would agree with that.
I want to praise him in everything. Today, motorcycle breaking down, I'm on the side of the road, I'm riding home in the rain, and my hands are, because I got leather gloves on, they're soaking up all the rain.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You ride 20 miles home in the rain at 45 degrees outside at 70, 75 miles an hour. And
when it was 80 yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And when I got back home, put that motorcycle in the shop at my house, what I call my shop, my workshop, it was hard to get the buckles and hooks undone from the bungee net that was holding my laptop backpack on with. But, dude, I had a smile on my face because I was home safe. I know my bike is going to be taken care of.
Yeah.
Somebody else provided me transportation to get back home and to be able to use a motorcycle until mine comes out of the shop.
Yeah.
So those things, that's using your talents.
Absolutely.
That's investing in the kingdom of God. And I'm not saying pay for my motorcycle repair bill or anything. I'm not starting a GoFundMe. What I'm saying is when you sow into someone for their betterment.
That's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about.
Right.
That's what it's all about.
And look, I'm not trying to sound like, hellfire and brimstone, but if you make the choice not to.
Mm-hmm. There it is.
You wicked, lazy servant.
Weeping and gnashing of teeth is what you get to look forward to.
And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Mm-hmm. That's what you get to look forward to.
That's what it is. So don't sit there and be like, well, I pay my tithing. Nowhere in here does it say
that's okay.
The church is going to do that.
Right. Yeah.
It says you.
Mm-hmm.
Go and make disciples.
Go and make disciples.
You.
Use what I've entrusted you with.
Right? You. Use what I've entrusted you with based on your ability.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't do it, it's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Right. Even if it's one talent.
Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong. There are people who maybe don't have the ability to go out.
True.
But they're ministering to people. Maybe they're doing a daily devotion on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's their ability at this time in their life.
Right.
Praise God that they do it.
Right.
It's not me.
Right.
Right? But that's why I feel like there's so much opportunity. You could be afraid of going outside and seeing people, and still, to your ability, God's going to say, go on social media and minister to people.
Mm-hmm. Another story. You remember when? Remember when we were much younger, and before call waiting came out, before cell phones and call waiting came out. So I remember when I was a younger man in my 20s, which I'm... I'm farther away from my 20s than I was. Anyway, I'm 53.
I know. So. Look, when you're farther away... Like, there's more years in between, right? You're farther away than closer to.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel you. Okay. I'm right there with you.
So anyway, I'd call my granny.
Yeah.
And granny lived out on, you know, the family farm that I grew up on. And the line would be busy. And it would be busy for hours, you know. And I'm like, granny, I need to, you know, I need to tell you this great thing. You know, I need to ask you a question or, you know, I need a recipe idea or something like that. And I finally get in touch with him. Granny, I've been trying to call you for like 2.5 hours. Oh, son, I was talking to Nadine or Mabel Brown or, you know, about whoever, something like that. Yeah. And we were just catching up. And I decided that we needed to pray together. You know, now, my granny died on her 90th birthday.
Wow.
And she was a beautiful woman that was just so full of life and I miss her every day, but Granny cared about people and what was going on in their lives. And Granny was, she was legally blind and legally crippled. Now she could see and she could get around, but she had rather me come take her to her doctor's appointments.
Okay.
She had rather me come.
She just wanted to see you.
Well, not just that, but you know, it was more comfortable in the car for her not to drive.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right? And she had to wear, you know, certain kind of stockings, and they had to have certain kind of socks, and, you know, her shoes had to be certain in order for her just to be able to walk.
Okay.
So the granny's ministry was, as she got older, wasn't just about sharing the gospel at that point. My granny was investing in other people by calling and checking on Nadine and Mabel Brown and Miss Ordner over here and you know, the neighbor that lives over there on the other end of the bridge.
Yeah.
You know, and praying for them so that their encouragement was heartfelt from someone that they knew.
Using her talent.
That's what I'm saying.
Based on her ability.
Based on her ability.
Right. And throughout the years, the ability changed.
It does.
Right? And it'll change for me.
It'll change
for you.
It will.
Right? So just go.
Yeah.
That's the moral of today.
Right.
Go.
Yep.
Just go.
Yep. Just go.
Just go.
Just go. And as my good friend Keith Puckett says, just do it.
Just do it.
Let's do it.
What a good conversation.
I loved it.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, again, this is Rick and Rob with the Nomad Pastor Podcast. Remember to love God
and love people.